In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening. I've been practicing that all afternoon. I want to take some time as we reach this beginning of the Lenten season on this Ash Wednesday to look at Paul's message to the church in Corinth. Paul is clearly making a statement for the reconciliation that is available to us to God through Jesus Christ. We are called to reconciliation. I know sometimes Lent gets a bad rap. Everyone stops to think, well, how can we do this? What does it look like? so we make it somewhat easier. So we do things like give up chocolate, which I'm not doing. I'm going to give up smoking. Right? It's been working for over 30 years. But the reality is, we tend to think about, well, what are we going to give up? And the idea is, how do we focus on God? So you can give up whatever you want, and I encourage that. Fasting, you know, holding back from particular things, whatever it may be. I encourage you to do that as long as whatever it is you do causes you to pause and take a moment and reach deeper into the knowledge that you have that through Jesus Christ, you are reconciled to God. It's really all about reconciliation. The concept is so important to us as a liturgical church. We carve out this entire season we call Lent, and we focus on it. Now, some people, that gets to be too much for them. It doesn't seem happy enough. And we get the comments of, but we have a risen Lord. And to that I would say, amen. We absolutely do have a risen Lord, but let us not forget what had to happen before he rose and what he offered to us through his grace when he did that. That is the key. Jesus is the key to our reconciliation to God. And he made that possible with his very body and blood. And we will spend this whole Lenten season preparing ourselves for the transformation that his grace brings. And we see in this passage, the first part, which is to the end of chapter 5, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's not just a nice thing, brothers and sisters. That is the thing. Through Jesus Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. And I had to stop. You'll be happy to know that's as far as I'm probably going to preach today. All right? It's late. So you don't have to worry about driving home in the dark. You drove here in the dark. But the fact of the matter is, it says, well, I might add a little something else, but not to accept the grace of God in vain. That's kind of a big deal. And as I was looking at that, I was thinking about times in my life when I've really sort of taken God's grace in vain, and then I remembered one time when I didn't, maybe one of the first times. I had this opportunity, thanks to my lovely bride. I never tell her when I'm going to use her in a sermon, by the way, otherwise she probably wouldn't get out of the car. But it's a good thing. She makes me better. But you all know what I mean. The concept being, she worked for an agency years ago, and she would often come home and tell me about how they helped this mom who came into their office. This mom came in, she was struggling, she needed this, this, and the other thing, and she and her kids, and we were able to help them with these things. And I'd always ask her, what about the dad? What about the dad? And she's been in early childhood her entire career. She went to a conference in Orlando, and there was a man there who was promoting his new program called Nurturing Dads. And my lovely wife went over and gave him my card, as I recall, and said, "He will do anything you ask him, just call him." And then she came home and told me what she did. And about a week later, he called. And what he wanted me to do was be part of this program that they were launching in Sarasota roughly 20 years ago, maybe a little more. Nurturing Dads program, helping dads become better dads. And it was at that moment I was offered grace that I didn't want. At that moment, he said to me, "What I'd like for you to do is go through the program." Well, I had been parenting for a very long time. I started when I was just a boy. It's true. I didn't need any pointers on how to be a dad. But I was so intrigued with the concept that this group of people were looking to help dads be better dads that I went through the program. It completely changed my parenting style. 180 degrees completely changed my parenting style. I think my two older children were not initially happy because the younger child was raised slightly different, but I did apologize to them for being not so good at it for their earlier years. But the fact of the matter is, if I had looked at it and accepted the grace in vain, so to speak, I could have gone to that course and paid no attention to it, thinking I already had everything I needed. And I would have come out the other side just like I went in. But I didn't. That was the grace of God. Actually taking on the fullness of the grace of God, he transformed me as a father. So much so, when my son became a father, he went through the program. And he was transformed as a father. And not only that, then he and I together presented the program to other men. I mean, that's only God's grace, amen? This is what happens when we take the fullness of God's grace and we allow him to transform us. If we take it in vain, sometimes what that just looks like is we get to church on Sunday and we're just thinking, how long, or on a Wednesday night, how long is he going to go on today? And that may be true. And it's always a very good question to ask, here especially. But we just kind of come and get our card punched kind of thing. And then we move on with our day. Or we have our church group that we kind of do things with, and then we have our real life. See, that's accepting God's grace in vain. The reality is, if that's why it brings you to church on a Sunday morning or whenever you happen to arrive, if it's a Sunday morning, all that's happening to you is you're having a late breakfast. God is offering you transforming grace. Paul is reminding the church today, do not take that grace in vain. Do not take it in such a way that it doesn't transform you fully. See, God has a plan for each and every one of us. He has a process in mind of how he is going to make us better, how he is going to make us more the way he created us to be. But we can't just say, oh, I love that idea, and then not follow through. The follow-through process, brothers and sisters, let me think of it this way. Anybody ever worked out? I mean, I've heard people do it. I don't, obviously. You've maybe heard the phrase, no pain, no gain. Anybody ever heard the term exercising your faith? Sometimes, brothers and sisters, no pain, no gain. The places in which God's grace shows up for us is the places we don't want to go with God. It's those places where he grabs a hold of us and his grace becomes apparent, and he transforms our lives. He heals us in those places. He changes the very inner core of our soul. He breaks open our hearts so that his love and his light can pour in. See, this is so important to us as Episcopalians. We are going to spend this entire Lenten season giving you opportunities to do that, to grow nearer to God, to surrender at a new level. Now, I've been through a few Lenten seasons, not as many as you may hope, And I've done some of them in complete surrender and come to the other side better than I entered in. And I have done some in vain. Went through the process. I walked the walk, but I did not talk the talk. I didn't open myself up to what God was going to offer me. And by the way, this Lenten season is just to help you grow into a process of doing that always. It's not just between now and Holy Week. It's forever. And a time, just as Paul was saying to the church in Corinth. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, Paul says, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Growing in holiness, being sanctified, letting God cleanse the darkness and the sin and the brokenness and the sorrow and the pain and the shame, whatever it is you have in you that is keeping you from being nearer to Him. We are going to spend these next weeks focusing on how God can move in those places so that we can be a better us. We can go through the motions and come out the other side. And if for some opportunity you have to bring around other people, you can say, well, you know, we were at church on Ash Wednesday. It was a little weird. They just dumped ashes on our head because they're not allowed to touch us, but we were there, and we can feel that rather sort of shallow self-righteousness. Or we can take this season of Lent as training for every day of our lives. We can fall on our faces before our God. We can open our hearts in the deepest, broken, darkest corners of our souls to the one who brings salvation and let him make us holy. The day of salvation is now. Amen.